Okay, yeah, it starts Vayidaber Adonai El Moshe Lemor. So today's portion is Tzav, which is in Leviticus 6 and going forward. Tzav, it's God tells Moses to command Tzav, it's in the imperative, Aaron. And then he tells Aaron all of the stuff that the priests are supposed to do, that the Kohens are supposed to do. So we don't have a temple yet. Not the Zav, Tzav. So what does this have to do with us today? It's always a big question in Leviticus, because you read through Leviticus and you get bored. You nap. Because, okay, so the priests are supposed to wear these white linen stuff, and the high priest, he's got the bells on, and... Right, and what we don't have high priests, we don't have priests, we don't have a temple. All of these things that God tells the Kohens that they have to do, we don't do, because we don't have any of this stuff. So what does this have to do with us today? Well, a couple things. First off, it's not always going to be this way. We're going to have another temple. God is going to assure that this happens. It's part of the big plan, and He's told us this repeatedly all throughout the prophets, particularly the Latter-day prophets. So we know that's coming. But above and beyond that, the fact that God gives us so much instruction about the priests and what the priests are supposed to do gives us an understanding of the structure of governance within Israel. That it's important to understand. Okay, the priests hold a pivotal role. The Kohens hold a pivoted role in the government, the governance of Israel. Okay? We're talking about the seat of Aaron. Kohens, this section of people, have a different role than the rest of Israel. Now remember, Israel is supposed to be a light unto the nations. Israel is supposed to be Mamlechet Kohanim. We're supposed to be a kingdom of priests. Okay? So if we're going to understand Israel, you got to understand the priests. Okay? Are the priests better than anybody else? No. They're different. Doesn't make them better, doesn't make them worse, means they have a different role. They are equal, but different. This is something key to understand. God creates separations all through. And Tanakh is very careful, Torah is very careful, to show us that there's separations between things. There's a separation of time, right? Shabbat is a separate time. Pesach is a separate time. God separates things. And we even have a special word for it, kadosh. It's separate, separated for God. Okay, and that's time. When we start to look at space, there are places that are separate. Specifically, there is a place which is separate. And what place is that? It's the place that God has chosen. Right? That's Har Habayit, the Temple Mount. God chose this place, and He chose it, and He told us that He chose it. Right? So we've got the Temple Mount, and then we've got Zion, Jerusalem. That's separated also. Not quite as much separated as the Temple Mount. We've got Israel, the land of the promise. This is separated also. Not quite as much as Jerusalem. Not quite as much as the Temple Mount. But here's space, and it's separated. We also have separations amongst people. It's separations amongst people. Okay? Israel is separated That's what this is about. Israel is a separate people. We have a different role. We don't have any kind of better role. We don't have anything that indicates we're better than anybody else. We just have a different role. And we can look at this idea and apply it all kinds of places in our very misguided, politically correct world that we live in today. Okay? Newsflash, men and women are different.
No.
Okay? Now, I probably spend too much time on Facebook, and much of the time on Facebook I spend going like this. But there was a lecture, a discussion, something going on, believe it or not, in California. Right? And so a lady was getting up and making the point. It should have been Ben Shapiro, but it was a lady. He was getting up and making the point that men and women are different. So guess what? Women lactate. Newsflash, yeah, I believe it or not, I was intending on saying this before. It was just a happy coincidence. Okay, physiologically, there's lady parts and there's guy parts. Guess what? Different. Ladies have a completely different hormonal structure than men do. They're different. Who's better, men or women? Right? When you speak to a Jewish audience, you should expect this. Okay, the reality is that we're equal. Just because we have different roles doesn't mean we're not equal. We are equal, we are not equivalent. We are equal, we're not equivalent. Just like Kohanes are equal and they're not equivalent. The priests are equal and they're not equivalent. So they've got a whole list of things that they're supposed to do. Okay? So when a Kohen doesn't attend your funeral, is it because he's too snooty?
No.
Well, some of them may... No. They're required to stay ritually clean except for immediate family, right? Parents, children, spouses, right? Other than that, they're not, okay. And this is, by the way, this is the commandment that we take to show who should stand for the mourner's kaddish. If you would be allowed to violate tumah and tahara, if you're allowed to violate contamination, decontamination as a Kohen, that's immediate family. That's who you stand for. And it's Leviticus 25, I believe. Okay, and other than that, no, they don't. It's not because they don't like you. Well, again, maybe it's because they don't like you. Or they may not like you also. But the reason is because they're different. They're separate. They have a different role. Okay? And the Kohanes are shown to have a different role in all of this boring dreck that we got to read in Leviticus. That's the point of it all, that there is a different role, just like there's a different role for Israel among the nations. It's a different role. The Kohanes, it's a role of leadership. With Israel, it's a role of leadership also. Mamlechet Kohanim, right? Kingdom of priests. Goy Kadosh, we should be a separate nation. Okay? So the Kohanes are this, and they are a leg of the stool of leadership in Israel. But a stool can't have just one leg, unless you're a comedian. Right? So the most stable is three legs. And guess what? Our governance has three legs. Our leadership has three legs. And one of the legs is the seat of Aaron. And all of this, that's why we have Leviticus. That's the lesson to get out of this. the other two legs, right? It's the seed of Moses, got the seed of Aaron, so he got the seed of Moses. What's that? The prophets. Prophets comes down from the prophets, right? Starts with God, transmitted to Moses, who writes it down, who transmits it to Joshua, who transmits it to the judges, who transmits it to the prophets, who transmits it to the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, who transmits it to the Pharisees, believe it or not. And that's why Yeshua said, they sit in the seat of Moses. Do what they say. Okay, that's why. Because they are one of the three legs of leadership. Right? Frequently nobody listened. But they are still one of the legs of leadership. That's what the seat of Moses is. Last seat, the third leg of the stool, is the seat of David. Exactly right. It's the seed of David. Right? The kingship. The kingship and the leaders of Israel. The Hashmonaim. Right? The leadership. And so we've got the kingship. The seed of David. We've got the prophetic lineage, which is the seed of Moses. And we have the priestly lineage, which is the seed of Aaron. Okay? And then we have Mashiach. What's Mashiach? The only person in the world who could be all three. He does come from the kingship seat of David. He does come from the priest seat of Aaron, and he does come from the prophetic seat of Moses. Okay? Understand, I'm not doing this hugely literally. I'm talking about leadership in Israel. He is the leader of Israel. Okay, if you want to have a discussion about whether he's really of the line of Aaron, I'm not really interested. Okay? If you've been coming to adult education class, we've been studying Midrash here for a while, and we got a good concept of what metaphor is. Right? And it's used constantly in Judaism and in Judaic learning. And we talked about the relationship between one of the Midrashim that we talked about this morning and the parable of the talents, right? Of the silver. That the, you know, one did nothing with it and another one and it grew. Okay? This is a style of teaching and understanding. So we understand Melech Mashiach. He is all of the leadership of Israel, and he is God on earth. Okay? And you can't understand that unless you understand the seed of Moses, the seed of Aaron, and the seed of David, which he encompasses. Okay? So all of the stuff that we read about in Leviticus, we kind of tie all together. Last week, we talked about the different sacrifices that come in the sacrificial offering, beginning with the olah, which is mistranslated variously as a burnt offering, and olah has nothing to do with burnt, roasted perhaps, stewed, okay, but not burnt. The elevation offering, which doesn't mean you go to the highest elevation mountain around, and you do, no, okay? Olah means it goes up to God. And you can't say that in one word, so they call it burnt offering or elevation offering or whatever it is. So the priests bring this. The priests do it. If I'm bringing one, if I'm bringing a Thanksgiving offering, which is a kind of a peace offering, a shlamim, so I'm bringing it, what do? I give it to the priest. Priest says, come on, and we've got the whole ritual that we go through, and I lean on the sacrifice, and then the priests do the work. They do the shechita, they take the blood, they do the zrika on the altar, they do all the rest. The priests do it. That's their role. They do the avodah. They do the work. We talk about a service that we're here attending a service. Why do we call it a service? It's from the word avodah. We're doing the work. And we're commemorating the work that the priests do that's outlined in Leviticus, and that's why we read it and go to sleep.
Very good.
Good. Okay, so that's why we go through this stuff. And why are we doing this now? Why are we doing this now? Because, oh my gosh, the sages were smart. And this is Shabbat HaGadol. And these portions, we begin Leviticus, we begin Vayikra this time of year. Why? Because the sacrifice of Passover is coming. You got to have some understanding before you go into that. Okay? So that's why we're doing it now. Shabbat Shalom. Record this. Okay, so today we're going to look in the Ketuvei Shlichim at the first letter of Yochanan, 1 John. Starting in chapter 2 with the first verse. And this is particularly important in light of the season. That's why some very wise and understanding sage picked this. I did. Never mind. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My children, I am writing you these things so that you won't sin. But if anyone does sin, we have Yeshua the Messiah, the Tzaddik, who pleads our cause with the Father. Also, he is the kapara for our sins, not only for ours, but for those of the whole world. The way we can be sure we know him is if we are obeying his commands. Anyone who says, I know him, but isn't obeying his commands is a liar. The truth is not in him. But if someone keeps doing what he says, then truly love for God has been brought to its goal in him. This is how we are sure that we are united with him. A person who claims to be continuing in union with him ought to conduct his life the way he did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command. On the contrary, it is an old command, which you have had from the beginning. The old command is a message which you have heard before. Yet I am writing you a new command, and its reality is seen both in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and truth light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in this light while hating his brother is still in the dark. The person who keeps loving his brother remains in the light, and there is nothing in him that could make him trip. But the person who hates his brother is in the dark. Yes, he is walking in the dark, and he doesn't know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Okay, so we got to know a little bit about John, Yochanan, and who he was, and the kind of thing that he wrote about. So there's a bunch of code words in here that if you study Jewish mysticism at all, you see. And if you don't, you don't. And so I shan't go into that stuff today. But there's a bunch of stuff that is not on that end of it, but is very, very practical. He is not giving us a new command. Right? He's giving us the old commands. What's the old command? Don't sin. Here's the mitzvot. Right? He writes later in the same letter, sin is a violation of Torah. So here's the mitzvot. So don't sin. No. Don't sin. And so he also writes that this is new. Giving it in a new way. It's the same old message. Old message, new way. All right? So the idea is that if you continue in your behavior when you say that you know God, that you've missed the point. You don't really know him. If you know the Messiah, it is you won't sin. Okay. Now, is that really what he's saying? Not really. Because, I mean, two sentences earlier, he says, well, when we mess up, we've got Yeshua the Messiah as our kapara, as our covering, right? The implication here is that this is the Jewish understanding that we're on a path. That being without sin is not a condition. That being without sin is a path. You're either on the path or you're not on the path. If you know the Messiah, you're going to be on the path. Doesn't mean you won't step off occasionally. It means that you're on the path. You're trying. You're trying. And when you mess up, Yeshua is there. But if you know God, if you know his Messiah, if you know Yeshua, you will not ignore him. The whole idea is the message today is the same that was the message before, and was the message before, and was the message before. The message is not different. Given in a new way because it's the Messiah saying it. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So do the commandments. Do the commandments. Don't ignore God. We got a bunch of them coming up. Right? For 7 days, eat Pepto-Bismol. Eat matzah. For 7 days, eat matzah. Okay? For 7 days, don't eat any chametz. All right? What does this really mean? It means that for 7 days, eat matzah. It means for 7 days, don't eat any chametz. Clean your house. Get it out of your house. Chametz. Chametz. What is chametz a symbol for? Wrong, but thank you for playing. Really, what's chametz a symbol for? Pride. Pride. Remember, in 50 days, they're going to bring another offering that's all full of chametz. Right? The Shavuot, the loaves, it's leavened. Okay? Pride. Don't be prideful. Don't be prideful. Don't say before God, oh, well, you said it, but it's not convenient, so I'm not going to do it. Seriously, that's what you're saying. Right? Tie it all together. Love your neighbor as yourself. That side of things also. If you say you love Messiah and you don't love your brother, then you're not being truthful to yourself. And I don't mean 100% of the time. It's a path. We all step off of the path. Right? Step back on the path. Return to God. Turn from sin. Right? That guy cuts you off in traffic and you pull up to the stoplight next to him and you turn into the hamster and the hamster ball and Bolt. Okay? We all do it sometimes. You don't have to keep doing it. Stop! Remember who Messiah is. Turn from sin. Okay? You get frustrated. Okay? You're a human being. You're going to get frustrated. Right? They've got some guy that is from Satan that writes the instructions on how to construct furniture from IKEA. Okay? Turn from sin. Okay, you stepped off the path. Sin isn't the condition, it's a behavior. Get back on the path. Get back on the path. That's what John is saying. This is a goal. This is something we strive for. Do better. On Rosh Hashanah, we talk about for the new year, for the next year, do one thing better. Do one thing better in Torah. Do one thing better. And you got two categories, love God and love your neighbor. And John talks about both here specifically. Okay? We're going to have a Seder. We're doing second Seder. You should be going to a first Seder the night before also. Why do we have a Seder? Because it's in Torah. Okay? Does Torah say,
you will have a Seder?
No. It doesn't say that. Right? So why do we have a Seder? Because the sages looked at this, and the sages said, this makes sense. Torah says, when your children ask, you will tell them. So we give the children a venue to ask. That's what the Seder is all about. Okay? So you can ask a question. Right? Like, can I get up and get some water? And you can. Okay? That's what the Seder is all about. Right? And so further, the story of the four sons is talked about. The wise son, the wicked son, the son that does not know how to ask a question. Right? And the simple son before that. So guess what? You tell the story anyway, even if they can't vocalize a question. That's why we had the Seder. Seder's all about the kids. Okay? And the children and all of us. And Yeshua makes a very interesting point about this, about the children. Right? Such as these are the kingdom of God. Okay? So it is in the Torah. But it's in an understanding of the Torah. It doesn't come out and say, you will do this. But it says, you'll do this. And then you have to ask the question, how? So ultimately, we do these things for the love of God. We eat matzah because we love God. We stay away from chametz because we love God. We clean the synagogue and our homes of chametz because we love God. Okay? So what's our reward? Right? We love Yeshua. What's our reward for loving Yeshua? It's not a question that should even be asked. Yeshua is not Santa Claus. You don't get given a gift if you recite a specific prayer. The whole point is to truly love God. Right? It's like having a child and having the child say, Mommy, I'll love you if you give me... fill in the blank. Right? No. We do these things because we love God. Okay? And John is telling us that. If you love God, you'll do the mitzvot. If you don't want to do the mitzvot, if the mitzvot are too inconvenient, if they mean so little to you, do you really love God? No. That's what he's asking. Okay? If you hate your brother, I mean, if you really hate him, how can you love God? How can you love Yeshua? So you've got to let that stuff go. Right? I get it. You get off the path. That's not the point. The point is, from here forward, what do? And you try to get back on the path. Shabbat HaGadol Shalom.